How many ever experienced a hardship in your life, any time in your life? How many of you, I wouldn't ask you that, but maybe for some of you, you're even going through a hardship right now. And there's a certain way that the Bible tells us how to react to hardships. You know, how many know it's really important that we react properly? I said in the first service, you know, you ever met somebody older, like an old person? And that's, hey, we're all young, amen. But how many know, you know, you can meet some old people, and how many of you know with old people, they're usually one of two ways. This is probably true with everyone. But you know what? I've met old people that are really, really sweet. Do you know any old people that are really sweet? They're just sweet. And then have you ever met an old person that's not so sweet? You're like, you're like, hello, hi. Have a good day. Because in the course of time, what happens is life either makes, sometimes we can just, as we get older, we get wiser and recognize, man, God has been so good to us. We start doing what I grew up learning. You know, at my dad's church, we used to sing the song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. And you get wise and recognize, you start counting all the times that God has blessed you. And it causes a sweetness to come over you, a graciousness. But on the flip side, sometimes, how many know life can be hard sometimes? And in the course of hardships, let me make this clear. When I talk about hardships, I'm not talking about sickness and disease. God has given us a covenant that we can walk in and be delivered from sickness and disease. But just let me make it clear to you. The Bible says this. The Bible says, don't forget all his benefits. Remember this? And one of the first things, or one of the things that lists on the very front side is, he says, who heals us from all our diseases. And the Bible says in the Old Testament and the New Testament, by his stripes we were healed. So I'm not talking about sickness and disease. I'm just talking about living life. How many know because of the fallen world, life can be difficult? How many ever run across a difficult person? How many ever run across, you know what, someone who's in a service field and they shouldn't be in a service field? You want to say, hey, dude, why don't you just quit? Because you shouldn't be working here, right? Or just life. Life can sometimes, you know what, be difficult. You know, the other day, I was just enjoying my day, having a wonderful day with my daughter. And you know what? And we go to start our ride home, and the tire's flat. And what made it irritating was that I was the one who popped the tire. Because, you know, those bumpers, and it was cracked over here, and I just kind of, she's got a weird car because it's like electric and engine, and you don't even know when the engine's on. I'm just not used to it, you know, and it's like, anyway, I bumped into the thing, and when we came back hours later, it was flat. How many know that can ruin your day? Come on, let's get real. And listen, it doesn't have to ruin your day. It didn't ruin my day, amen? Matter of fact, I was like, okay, well, I really, we could call AAA. I didn't really want to wait for AAA. So I was like, I pulled out the, you know, the little cheesy little jack that they give you, you know, in a Prius. It's a little, you know. some guy comes by, he's like, you know what, do you want a real jack? I was like, yeah. And so he walks down, and next thing you know, he's pulling one of these heavy duty jacks. You know, pulling it out. Oh, I'll show you a jack. You know, it jacks it up. You know what? And then true story. And then I've got this little a wrench to take the bolts out. You know what I mean? And it's only like this long. I mean, with all my strength, I can't even believe the bolts aren't coming off. With all my, you know, and you know I'm strong. Anyway. Hey, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? Anyway, I'm just chatting. And I'm like, unbelievable. Well, he's like, you know what? And then made me feel good because he tried. He couldn't get it either. But then he's like, oh. And then he takes the end, because he's got this big jack. He takes the end of his jack and he puts it on the end of the thing. And he's, because now he's got leverage. And he takes the thing right off. I mean, I'm like, God is good. Amen. We're all done. You know what? We're able to connect with this guy. You know what I mean? And watch this. And I'm the whole thing probably took just 10 minutes. If I would have called AAA, probably would have been there for an hour and 15 minutes. Right? See, what I want to talk to you today is not about whether you're going to have hardships in your life. The Bible says you're going to have hardships. The Bible says the rain's kind of come. What I want to talk to you about today is how you react to the rain. Because how you react to the rain, how you react, do you react in believing that God has got your backside and got your front side and got your side and got your other side and going to take care of you, and that this is just a passing, you know, that all this is an opportunity for you to testify in the goodness of God. Is that how you receive hardships? Or do you read hardships like the apostles received hardships? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Remember when that storm came? Real storm, real hardship, real problem. And how did they react? Many times they react the same way that we react. And this is going to be straight up to you. But they go down and they see Jesus. And here's what they say. They say, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? What did they do? They did the two of the most foolish things you can do. Question the character of God and then anticipate that the very worst thing's going to happen to you. Is that not what they did? Okay. Is that not what they did? Is that not what we can do sometimes? We're going through hardship and we anticipate that this hardship is going to have the very worst conclusion. And we question the character of God while we're doing the same thing. And I'm saying to you, no, wait. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us to, you know what? The Bible tells us, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Pastor, what do I do? What do I do when hardship comes upon me? Here's what you do. You know what? You endure it. You endure it. It's so interesting because if you look at this, let me show it to you. He says to Timothy, but understand, you know what? This is a letter to Timothy, a letter to somebody that he's mentoring. And he says this, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, whenever you see therefore, you know, you therefore, you have to ask why it's therefore. Okay, why is it there? So how do you find that out? You go to the verse or verses above it. If we just go to the verse above it, look what the verse above it says. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, say among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Then he says, you therefore endure hardships. Here's what he's saying. You got other people around you. And because you have other people around you that are looking at your character, when hardships come upon you, you have to endure it like a good soldier. See, other people are watching you. What are you doing? Are you doing what the apostles did? Blaming God and suggesting that the very worst thing is going to happen to you? Or are you doing what the Bible says? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, you know what? with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. See, are you saying, no, 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 let me tell you what, everybody's watching you, hardship, let me tell you what I'm about. I've got a relationship with God. I ain't sweating this, and let me tell you why I'm not sweating this. Not because it's not sweatable, but because I cast my cares upon God, for he cares for me. Now I have no care, and he cares for me. He's going to take care of this situation. See, he's saying, Timothy, the reason why you have to do this is because people are watching you. You're not living your life in a bubble. You got kids watching you. You got sons watching you. You got daughters watching you. You got grandkids watching you. Well, I'm not a parent yet. Okay, you have roommates watching you. You have employees watching you. You got people all around you. And listen, if we act like the unchristians act, then what's the point? That's what many unsaved people are thinking. I don't get this Christianity. There's nothing better than they. You know what? All they do is waste their time. They're going to church and I'm going bowling. You know, this is way better. Well, let me tell you what. The reason why they think that many times is because we act like we don't have a covenant with God. And he's talking to Timothy and saying, hey, Timothy, the reason why you better endure hardships like a good soldier is because you're not in a bubble. Other people are watching you. And so you've got to step up to the plate and say, no, 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 no. Watch this. The apostles, when they're going through the hardship, listen, God doesn't, when the storm comes and he says, remember he goes up to the boat and says, peace, be still. Remember all this? He doesn't apologize to the apostles. He doesn't go up there and say, oh, guys, I'm sorry. You know what? I just spent a lot on my mind, and I just needed a good rest. And sorry, when you were going through the hardship, sorry, I was sleeping. Sorry, that was on me. Jesus doesn't say that. He looks at them and says, guys, does he not? I'm paraphrasing. What is your problem? You're down there doing two things that you know better. One, you're blaming me, and how disgusting for you to think that I have anything but the best intentions for you. I don't come to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why are you transposing that on me? Number one. And number two, why are you thinking the worst? Did I not say we're going to the other side? Read it in context. Jesus said we're going to the other side. Why did somebody stand up and say, you know what? Not on my watch. See, here's what happens. We go through hardship, and many times the very thing that God wants us to do, which isn't to endure. And endure, it doesn't mean, oh, this is so hard. That's not what he's saying. He says, endure it like a what? Good soldier. What's a good soldier do? A good soldier is saying, let me tell you what, I know the character of God. Let me tell you about God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all God delivers me. That's what David said. That's what I'm saying. That's what David saw. That's what I'm seeing. Amen. You know, I've been young and I've been old. You know what? And I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. You know, why aren't we saying that? Why do we anticipate? See, the Holy Spirit spoke to Tamara one time. She got a bad report from the doctors. And the Holy Spirit ministered to her. How many know the Holy Spirit can talk to people? Amen. And he said, you know what? Pay attention. Because when you hear a bad report, you know what? It's so important how you react to that bad report. How do we react to hardship? How do we react to that bad report? Because I'm telling you, how you react has everything to do with the outcome of the report. Well, I'm going to say that again. Like the water, I'm going to let it soak in a little bit. How we react has everything to do with what's going to happen on the outcome. You said, no, Pastor, you got that wrong. God's a sovereign God. However he wants it to happen, that's how it's going to happen. No, I'm smiling, right? No, Jackson, you got it wrong. See, you can't believe that unless you're not reading the Bible. Yeah. Because Galatians says, don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he also reap. Oh. See, you can't read the Old Testament and think that. It only is an ignorance of, even a misunderstanding of the Word of God or an ignorance of the Word of God that people think that way. Oh, is God not sovereign? God is sovereign. God says, this is how I'm going to do it. And I can do it any way I want. And here's what I'm going to do it. I'm going to set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then I'm going to let you choose. But he says, choose life that you and your descendants might live. The Israelites, you know what? Bunch of, what was his will for the Israelites? That they walk in the land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, but Pastor, they didn't. They died in the wilderness. Precisely my point. And you can't come up with your own narrative because the Bible gives you his narrative on it. You know why he says they died in the wilderness? Because, watch this, because over and 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 over again. Did you see that? He says, these 10 times you continue to say this. You continue to seek to speak this. You continue to talk about my lack of character concerning my love for you and my well-being for you. And so because these 10 times you continue to say this, none of you are going to walk. You are all going to die in the wilderness. Oh, excuse me. Except who? Joshua and Caleb. Why? Why? Because he liked them more than anybody else? No, because they acted in the course, watch this, in the course of hardship. What was the hardship? They went and out and saw the Canaanites and Hadjizites and Zebusites and all the Yites. They're like, ay, 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 Yites. That was funny. Yeah, it was more funny than you laughed. I'm going to laugh at that on the way home. Ay, 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 Yites. All the Yites, man, freaked them out. You know what? Well, it could have freaked out. See, it's not the report. It's not the hardship. It's how do you react to that hardship? Do you see the difference? All right. Are you learning something? My first point, you know what? God is our deliverer. Say, God is our deliverer.
God is our deliverer.
Watch this. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of what? How many?
All.
Out of them all. It's interesting. I spent a lot of time in the first service, but how many know words mean things? How many all doesn't mean most? How many know all doesn't mean most? All doesn't mean most. All doesn't mean most. All doesn't mean many. How many know God picks his words very carefully? All means 100% that you will be delivered. That's what it means. Watch this. This is what Paul says to Timothy. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Interesting words here. Paul saying, one of the things I am is I'm long-suffering. Some of you, you're not long-suffering. You are what our society, and I do this too, what our society is. You know, think about this. Our society has a microwave. Somebody say microwave. And in that microwave, it was too much time to punch in 2 minutes. 200. So somebody, you know what, GTE or, you know what, you know, Sony or one of the microwave companies says, let's do this. Let's stop going 200 hit start. Let's just have one button that says popcorn.
How many know you can't buy a microwave that doesn't say popcorn anymore? Can I tell you what? You'll go find it and buy it for me. You can't find it. Why? Because people, it takes too long to press 200 start. See, and we're part of that microwave society. Paul says, Timothy, you've seen me. I'm not short. There's some hardship, and it's been a while that I've been through it. But I don't grow weary in doing good. I keep on believing God is my deliverer. He's going to deliver me in this. And there's been some situations that it didn't happen overnight, but it didn't change my testimony that God is my deliverer. Are you catching this? That's what he says. He says, Timothy, look at my life. Persecutions, afflictions, be careful to follow my doctrine, manner of life. This is how I live. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. What's perseverance talking about? Same thing. It's not a short thing. It's not a microwave thing. Watch this. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, that persecutions I endured, and out of, how many of them?
All.
out of them all, the Lord has delivered me. So can I tell you what? God's not a respecter of persons. But how many know Paul was believing that God was going to deliver him out of them all?
Amen.
Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them. How many?
All
of them. God is a deliverer. You know what? God is a listener. Somebody say, God is a listener. You know, why did God deliver the Israelites? You know why? You have not because you ask not. You know why he delivered them? Because they were crying out to him. Look what it says. Now it happened in the process that the king of Egypt died, when the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. Somebody say, cried out.
Cried out.
And their cry came up to God because of their bondage. So he heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged, children of God, of Israel, and God acknowledged them. God said, no, I noticed that you're going through things. Can I tell you what? When you're going through hardship, when you're crying out, God notices you. Don't think God is not compassionate. Don't think he's too busy to hear your cry. He hears you. The Bible says that's why they were delivered, because he heard them crying. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. God hates injustice in general. Listen, there will be no injustice that doesn't get taken care of at the end. You know what the Bible says to pray for your enemies? You know one of the reasons? Because everyone will have justice.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. Repent now of your unrighteousness. Because everyone's going to have justice.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So God is a listener. You know what? God is a promiser. Somebody, God is a promiser. Look, he promises. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them. Somebody say, God's a deliverer. Deliver them from out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land to a good, a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land to a place of the Canaanites, Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites. Whatever. Yeah. I said Pizzazites last night. And you know what? And a bunch of other ites. Okay, moving right along. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with the Egyptians oppress them. Come
now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you will bring my people of the children of Israel out of Egypt. God says, I am going to deliver them. Yes. And he tells Moses, and I'm gonna use you to bring them out. Exodus 5:6. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster of the people and their officers, saying, You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks. Let them go and gather the straw for themselves. Moses does what he says. He goes, God, watch this. God has promised them to deliver them. Yay! See, that's what we think. Yay! Where's the popcorn? I want it now. God tells Moses, go to the Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, it ain't happening, Jackson. Listen, do me a favor. Before you start blaming God for hardening Pharaoh's heart, you make sure you read it. You read that whole book. Because if you read that whole book, before God did anything of hardening his heart, Pharaoh was saying, they ain't going nowhere. You talk about Jackson, that's what he called Moses. He said, Jackson, they ain't going nowhere. Read it. And make sure you read the timeline. I'm just saying. Galatians says, don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he also reap. Pharaoh, watch this, read it. Pharaoh put all those people under bondage. You know why? They didn't do anything. I don't really think, if you read the context, it really didn't even seem like it was a racial thing. It was a numbers thing. All these Jewish people were having all these babies, you know what I mean? And he started seeing, whoa, what's going on? They're going to take us over. Can you imagine just oppressing a people for no reason except the reason that they had large families? Just fear? That's what he did. So God says, I'm going to deliver you, tells Moses to go to Pharaoh, goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you ain't doing jack. Let me tell you who's going to do something. I'm going to do something, and I'm going to take away their straw. The Israelites are like, what the heck? Our life was bad as it is. Moses, would you leave us alone? What are you doing? Can I tell you what? See, that's what we do in our problems sometimes. We're so busy looking at short term that we don't have no idea that God is going. But God, someone look at your neighbor and say, God is doing something. Amen. Amen. How many patience is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? I don't want patience, God. I want everything now. Listen, there's times that you're going to need patience. And God wants to deliver that patience in you. But he can't if you're too busy blaming him and crying in your Cheerios. And watch this. And you're not a good soldier if you're criticizing and mocking the character of God as an evil God. That's what Israel did. They went to Moses. They said, hey, knock it off. You're not helping us. You're hurting us. Somebody say, sometimes you got to look at the big picture. What's the big picture? The big picture is there's going to be a day if you will watch your mouth. How many of your mouth gets you in trouble sometimes? Listen to me. If you will watch your mouth and if you will watch your attitude, I'm going to put you in houses. I'm going to put you in large houses. I'm going to put you in, you're going to go there. You're going to go in the backyard and you're going to start to dig your well. How many know they didn't have pipes with water coming to them? You're going to start to dig your well. Can you imagine how long it takes to dig a well? Right? You're going to start digging this well, and you're going to go, oh, my goodness, and you're going to throw your shovel away, and you're going to go back, and you're going to eat, drink some lemonade because somebody already dug that for you. That's what he said. I'm going to put you in lands, in houses that you didn't build, in harvest. You're going to harvest stuff that you didn't plant. And you're gonna enjoy wells that you didn't dig. But you better watch your mouth. See, when hardships come, how you reacting to those hardships are critical to what the outcome is going to be. And so they're like Moses, knock it off. Moses goes to God and says, God, what's with this? God's like, hey. And he repeats his promise. He says, nope, trust me. I only have good concerning you. God is our deliverer. You know what? God is a promiser. How many know God has promised you some things?
Yes.
I'm so convinced that many times we never walk in the fullness of what God has promised us because we're so, you know, I mean, I've said this many times and I say this to single people, please trust your pastor. You know what? Many times God has, you know what, somebody planned for you. But you're just so fearful that you're not even 30 years old and you think you're an old maid. Are you crazy? But watch this. But it is craziness. Because you start to walk in fear, and Satan wants to stir that all up. No, just relax. Just trust God. Yeah, but it's hard being single. You know what? Well, it's better to be in the will of God than out of the will of God. Is that not right? Yeah, I'm just saying. And you see it as hardship. And I'm not saying it's not hardship. I'm just saying to endure it means that you're going to put your trust in God and know that this thing is going to pass. And after it passes, what are you going to have? You're going to have a testimony of the goodness of God. You're going to say, man, I remember when I was going. And somebody else is going to come up to you and you're going to say, hey, no. I remember when I was going through that.
Yeah.
Just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Is this making sense to anybody? God is a promiser. Look what he promises. And the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of land. Who's going to let them go, according to this? Who's the he there? Pharaoh's going to let them go. Who's going to drive them out? Pharaoh's going to drive them out. Listen, when I get done with the situation, let me tell you what, Pharaoh's going to be saying, get out of here. See, can we trust that God is a good God in the midst of a little rain? Can we do that? Can we not revert to the apostles and start accusing God of not loving us? Start accusing God that, and then start confessing that the worst thing's going to happen? You don't even care. We're going to die. You don't care. That's what they're going to do. They're going through some hardship. Are they going? No, listen. Nobody is denying they're going through hardship. What God is saying is, hey, when you go through hardship, stop complaining about me and stop complaining about your situation. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. See, just chill out. Give it to God. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what's going on in business. Well, you don't know I'm being sued. You don't know blah, blah, this. Blah, blah. You don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. You don't know, blah, blah. You don't know my kids. You don't know. No. We all have opportunities. Do we not?
Yeah.
The question is, when we're going through a hardship, do we start criticizing the character of God and thinking that God is going to leave? The Bible says God has promised never to leave you or forsake you. What do you think? He's not doing something? See, we have the advantage to look at the story. We kind of can look in the future, can we not? Because the whole story's already been written. Because it's history. We can look and see, you know what? Was God doing something? Oh, God was doing something. How many know their life got worse to get much better? How many would you like to be one of the ones walking out of slavery with all the gold and silver of Egypt? That's what the Bible said. That's what happened. Number five, you know what? God is evil. Not! I saved you on that one, right? Well, here's why I wrote it that way. Here's why I wrote it that way. And here's why I want you to write that way in your notes. Because people think God is evil. Sometimes we might have even thought God is evil. No. Just be honest with yourself. See, when we think that situations in our life aren't going to turn out to the good, you know what we're really doing? We're really saying, God, you're evil. People have done it all the time. People still do it today. That's what they said. They said, God, watch this. This is so crazy. Look, no, it's same story, but just different place. Just so all of the congregation lifted up their voices and cried out, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. So if we had died, or if we had died in the wilderness. Why? Watch this. It's so crazy. Why has the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children have become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They watch this. They want to return to the junk. Listen, don't ever take the bait of Satan to want to return to your misery. No, dude, it was so much better. You man, I remember you and I used to get high, and it's just my life was so much chilled, and now I have a business, and now I have family, and now I have all these responsibilities. No, don't listen. don't yearn for an evil life. No. That's disgusting. God has delivered them. God is in the process. Somebody say, God is in the process. See, it's in the process that they are anticipating that he's not going to see them through. They're saying, we're going to, listen, I mean, they're going to die in, how many know they are going to die in the wilderness? How many know they are going to die in the wilderness? But they're going to die in the wilderness not because God intended them to do that, but because when they had a little hardship, they criticized God, they mocked God, they said the very worst things about God, and they said, this is where we're going to end up. Listen, James is very clear. Your course of your life is set by your words. It's interesting. So many Christians today mock, you know what, like it's a bad doctrine to believe in the power of the tongue. Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? I mean, it is throughout the Gospels. You know what? It's throughout the Bible. Proverbs says life and death is in the, or it says death and life is the power of the tongue. Don't just recognize, not just life is in the power of the tongue, death is in the power of the tongue. Yeah. See, when you start complaining, I mean, let me give you a word picture. When you're complaining, you're getting out your shovel and you're digging your own grave. It's like, dude, why are you digging a grave? And you're going to put yourself in that grave. And everything else. You know what? I mean, be careful how you speak to your kids, what you speak to your kids, what you say about your business, what you say. You know, you're out there kicking your car. This piece of junk, you know what I mean? You know, it never gets me anywhere. Are you kidding me? You know what? Why are you cursing? You know, why do husbands curse their wives? Why do wives curse their husbands? Why are you doing that? Well, because they are like, they are. Well, maybe they are. Maybe their parents cursed them. Maybe their grandparents cursed them. Maybe they cursed them. Maybe you've been put in their life. Here's a thought. Go to the website and listen to Pastor Joel's teaching last week in changing your environment. Man, start changing what's going on. Start changing your environment. God is, watch, in this story, God is wanting to get them in, and they're saying, nope, we don't. Why? Here's why. Because they won't endure hardship like a good soldier. A good soldier says, no, 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 no. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Amen. That's what a good soldier testifies in the goodness of God and his good character. These people are saying God is evil. We have people saying that today. Well, if God's such a good God, how come there's this? Well, it's interesting because the reality is, you know what? Like if you looked at, if you really analyzed it, if you analyzed, let's take impoverishment. You know how many here? Let me tell you a case study that a major university did. You know, not some Christian university, a major secular university did. They studied cities and towns and countries and not countries, cities, towns, villages, and they wanted to see villages that were in poverty and coming out into a degree of prosperity. What they all had in common. You know what they all had in common? Jesus. Not religion. Jesus. They were all places where the gospel came of Jesus Christ, people getting saved, and they, because let me tell you about Jesus. That's what Jesus is. God is a blesser. And he has promised from the beginning to the end to take care of his people. That's what he is trying to do in this story. And in the midst of his promise, they keep on saying, nope, that's not who God is. Let's go back. Let God is evil. Let me tell you what, God is not evil. And just for the record, you know what? We would do smart to just humble ourselves and recognize. If God is saying to do it, do it. Because that will always be best for you. It will always, it will, why? Because the character of God. You know what? I have a picture of it. I was looking at my pictures the other day. And at camp we had a, we had this spray. And the spray was like, just a awful smelly spray, like stink. And I have a picture of Isaac standing there and his brother behind him. And he, like, Isaac was looking out here and his brother comes behind him and has that spray. And he's George, and George is spraying his butt with it, just right. Can you imagine? Man. Yeah, what was my point of that story? I had a good point. Come on, somebody help me out. What's my point?
We don't know.
Evil, I think evil. That was evil. Oh, that is. You know, how many know brothers can do that to brothers? How many, that was kind of evil a little bit, right? Okay. Listen, God never does that to you. No. Yeah, it's a silly illustration, but if you remember, it's a good one. No, God never does that to you. He never tricks you. He never trips you. He never does any of that to you. And listen, and us questioning that character, all it does, you start to think something, you start to speak something, and guess what? These people, finally, how many know God is long-suffering? What does long-suffering mean? It means he's patient with us. But listen, don't confuse long-suffering with thinking that you can continue to question who he is. Don't think you can continue to think that God is evil. You know what? And he's going to, and you're not going to reap what you sow. Yeah. And here's what he says. After 10 times, I finally said, fine. Y'all, we're going to die in that desert. Wow. Oh, but watch this. Watch this. But God is selective. God is selective. You said, but Pastor, I thought the Bible says that God is good to everyone. He is good to everyone. Psalm says that. You know what? God is good to everyone. And he is good to everyone. How many enjoyed the cooler weather? You know what I mean? Man, I love this weather. This water polo weather. I love this weather. Okay. But listen to me. Everybody enjoyed the coolness yesterday. The most righteous and the most unrighteous. God loves everyone. For God so loved the world. He gave his son to everyone. But how many people received his son? See, God loves everyone, but he is selective. Over and over again, you see. Let me prove it to you. Isaiah says, you know what? If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. Does it not say that? Well, what if you're just obedient? How many know you can be as obedient to God with a bad attitude, and God doesn't say, you know what? Ooh, I have this offering. I go with the here. Take the tithes and offerings. You know, God's not like, oh, I received that. Thank you. No. God is looking for you to be willing and obedient. God's looking at not just what you do, but God's looking at your heart. He's judging it from the inside, not just the outside. Okay. So, but watch this. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. Bible doesn't say everybody's going to eat the fat of the land. He says, if you're willing and obedient. In other words, there's a bunch of people, and they're not gonna reap. Why? Because they're not sowing. That scripture in Galatians, it says, the first part of that scripture, you know what it says? Don't be deceived. See, there are some people, and they think that they can sow to the flesh, and they're going to reap to the righteous. And they're not. They're not. And these people aren't. They're judging. They continue to judge God's character. They continue to not listen to their leader. Their leader, Moses, he's keep just over and over saying, no, God's a good God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. And they just keep on saying the same thing over. They got Moses. They got Joshua. They got Caleb. Caleb and Joshua are begging with them. They're saying, guys, we got this. Nope. Can I tell you what? Sometimes we listen to the wrong report. You remember this song? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. You don't know that song? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears. I don't know the rest of the song, but be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know, we have to be careful what we hear. The Bible says, incline your ears to what I'm saying. Listen, find the Joshuas and the Calebs in your life. You know why there was so, when you read the book of Acts, you said, Pastor, you know what? The book of Acts was so awesome. There's all these supernatural signs. We just want that for the church. Well, what was the church doing? You know, the Bible says, they were seated at the apostles' feet listening to their doctrine. I don't encourage you to come some Wednesday or some Sunday or when it fits into your schedule. You say, Pastor, you just want the church full. Of course I want the church full. Like, but yeah, you busted me. Of course. But the truth is we live a Christianity of not understanding that if we're going to walk in what God has called us to walk in, there's going to be a price that has to be paid. Is that not right? See, if you sow bountifully, the Bible says, here there's another one. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. But if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. So what are they doing? These people are just like everyone. They're just like us. They're just like us. They didn't have Facebook and Pinterest and, you know, they didn't have all that. But they had people that, you know, people could influence them.
That's right.
So what do you got to do? You've got to make a decision that you're going to be listening to the Calebs and the Joshuas.
Yes.
The people are going to lift up your faith and encourage you. Come on, is somebody here today? And God wants to say, no. Stop listening to the bad report. Stop thinking, yeah, but I'm going through hardship. Whoa. I never said you're not going to go through hardship. Here's what I said. I said that God is our deliverer. All I'm saying today is really one thing. That God has promised to deliver us. Let's be people that believe what God said. Let's be believable. And maybe right now you're going through a hardship. Maybe right now you're going through some situation. Man, let me tell you what. Now is not the time to stop believing in God. You know, right now, right in like in this time right now that we're living, there's all kinds of people jumping off the boat. I'm talking about the boat of Christianity. Major pastors, worship leaders, authors, Christian books. And what are they saying? They're saying, no, I'm jumping off the boat. You know, I did that Christianity stuff, and you know what? And I'm out of there. Can I tell you what? They're going to reap what they sow. I can't think of something more foolish than to abandon God and just start to criticize his character. Because let me tell you what I know of God. I know that God has been faithful to me over and over and over and over again. And I know even in situations where I haven't seen God's deliverance, it's just because I haven't seen it yet. That's all it is. When I woke up and when my back was hurting me, I was walking like an old man. And I would say every day, God is my healer. God is my healer. God is my healer. God is my healer. See why? Here's why. Why do you keep on saying that? Because, watch this. Because God is my healer. And there was a day that I got up. I didn't even know when it was. I mean, obviously it happened sometime, but I didn't notice it in the morning. I didn't notice it till in the afternoon. And I was like, oh, all day, no pain. Like, wow, I'm walking like normal. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was thanking Jesus the day before when there was pain. Are you hearing me? I was thinking Jesus the day before and the day before and the day before. And all those days I had pain. What am I saying? I'm saying, I tell you what, God is my deliverer. I've told you this, but I want to say it to you again. I love that song. Real simple song goes, you know what? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. My favorite part. He's so good. What? To me. Man, get a revelation knowledge. Because here's what we think. We think, oh, yes, God will bless Tony. And you know what? God will bless Pastor Paul. And God will bless Angel. And God will bless Isaac. But me. No. Start to have this revelation. That's what they were saying. They're saying, you know why they wanted to go back? They were saying, let's go back to our old. No, let's not go back to our old life. Let's not go back to our old way of thinking. Let's not go back to a thought where we think that God is abandoning us. Why? Because, you know what? You're going through a little hardship? Come on. Come on, really? I think of God. And think about this for a minute. You know what makes this so disgusting in this story? It's not like God hadn't delivered them over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, the Israelites had seen. Imagine this. The Red Sea opens up. I mean, is that a miracle? But imagine this. They walk through the Red Sea. The Philistine army looks And they've seen, you know, there was estimation well over 1 million people. From 1 million to 3 million Israelites walked through that sea. Can you imagine how long that took? So what is Pharaoh and his army doing? They're going, dude, I don't know about this, but that wall is holding up on both sides. It's a miracle that that happened, but you know what's also miraculous? When is it released? After the Pharaoh's army goes in the Red Sea, they're in the middle of the Red Sea, then what God says? He's like, okay, you know what? Flips the switch off. I don't know if he flipped the switch off, but whatever. Boom. And guess what? And those Israelites saw all the dead army of Israel on that shore. They saw it. See, it's bad to say that God won't deliver you, but it's worse to say God won't deliver you when you've experienced his delivering power. Does that make sense? But what do we think? We think, you know what? How many recognize probably what you're going through right now seems to be the biggest thing you've ever gone through? Does it not? It's like, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through now. Well, how many know last, 2 months ago, that was the biggest thing? Because that's how we are. It's always, no, now's the worst. No, now's the worst. No, it's always the worst because it's now. It's what it seems. But how many recognize how many great, incredible, worst things God's already delivered you from? Amen. See, let's talk like David talked. Let's have the spirit. You know why Caleb and Joshua didn't die in the wilderness? The Bible says, because they had a different spirit. What was their spirit? Their spirit was, God's my deliverer. He is going to deliver us. And later on, guess who walked in the promised land? Caleb and Joshua. Father, help us. Help us to receive what you have for us today. If you're in this room and you haven't accepted Jesus, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Where is it? Where are you? Yes, thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there anybody else? Anybody else want to accept Jesus? Today's your day. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to make you my Lord. I'm tired of making my own decisions. I need your help. I repent of my sin. Come into my life. Change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.